We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like the show, then tell a friend. Kresh and Keefe on WEEI.
So I have a torn labrum in my hip. Probably going to do surgery. I'm going to do surgery. I just don't know what the exact date is. Probably within a month. Start the recovery process, and then we'll see what the future holds after that. Hopefully recovery goes well, and I'd be ready to play hockey at some point next year.
One of the best videos of all time, by the way.
This is on the Greg Hill channel of
Natalie
Odyssey.com. This is on
One Hit Wonder, or does she have more than this?
No, one hit wonder.
Yeah, this though,
this video. She has an incredible MTV Unplugged, which includes a phenomenal cover of the Daft Punk song Instant Crush that I would recommend.
Okay, there you go. But this video,
this is John's
man,
Music Minute.
An all-timer. I think I was in high school when this came out. And I was like, yep.
I remember the song. I don't remember the video. I think it was probably because for me, especially at that point in time, being the superficial heterosexual male that I am, I probably was like, nah, I don't want to see the video.
You
too many clothes or something like that.
No, I don't think that was the case at all.
Oh, really? So maybe
it's a sad one. It's like her and her boyfriend's relationship falling apart and the house like falls apart. But it's one shot. No, it's one shot, though.
It's kind of
so it's everything's unfolding.
But it's just her, too. Isn't she wearing like a tank top, I believe?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. I lived that once. I'm okay. I don't need to see that in story form.
What? Know? I mean, just a great video,
though. It's a classic music video.
Yeah, Chris. It is.
We end hour two, and Tuukka Rask, why torn? Well, Tuukka has confirmed the torn labrum in his hip. So it leads to the question, and I don't think this is sort of point A to point B type stuff. I think there, and maybe a better analogy, it's not black or white. There's a ton of gray in trying to evaluate this, I think, for some. Because there is the, man, the guy gave it all. He was playing injured. And then there was, did they have someone better? Does healthy necessarily mean better? Did the organization force Tuukka in there? They did win a round with this guy with a torn labrum.
And he was great against Washington.
Right. So it's a whole bunch of jumble right now in terms of how you should look at this.
I just think the guy. The other big question is, do you think you have a viable backup or not? Do you trust the backup at all? Because I think a couple of years ago, you know, if it's Halak or if it's, you know, Svedberg, or go down the list of some of the guys that backed up Tuukka, and you said, all right, he has a torn labrum in his hip, but he's playing through it. He's had some really good games. And the alternative is this. Then I'd say, all right, yeah, maybe you are better off with Tuukka. But call me crazy, I like Swayman. I know he hasn't played a whole lot, but loved him in the regular season. He beat some good teams, too. It wasn't all Buffalo. He beat some really good teams in the regular season. Had great numbers. Now, he only got one period in the playoffs and didn't look very good. He only faced three shots and he let one goal in. But it seemed to have gotten to the point where if Bruce Cassidy was worried about maintenance, was worried about consecutive games for Tuukka, he had maybe his worst game until game six in game five. So maybe it was like enough is enough. Like this is kind of the breaking point. Like it's amazing he's played as many games as he did with a torn labrum. He's saying, hey, I want to play, but you kind of have to step in there and take it away from him. The guy needs surgery and he won't be ready until February. And you're going to trot him out there after the performance that he had. I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I'm Bruce Cassidy, if I go to the team and all these veterans that we've talked about, which Tuukka is a part of that core, and we say, boys, round two, we're going with the kid. and you just won a round with Tuukka, but then you decide, okay, we can't ride this guy anymore. How do you sell that to that group? Like, it feels like...
It doesn't have to be after the first round, though.
No, but that's what I was going to say.
You're up 2-1.
But if the decision was made before the playoffs, then you're saying to the team, "This we have to pull him out because we don't feel he can give us the great effort." But once you put him in game one of the playoffs, unless he gets hurt worse, considering it seemed like everybody in the room knew what was going on with Tuukka. Like, everybody dummied up, right? Nobody said anything. There was none. We haven't heard backlash afterwards of the whole, why was he in there? What were they thinking? That kind of deal. That, how do you sell to this team when we sit here and say, look, the clock is ticking on this group. Oh, by the way, we're going to put this rookie in here. Good luck.
Well, no, I mean, you don't just say, "Hey, good luck." We're putting in Jeremy Swayman because he's a good goalie and he's healthy, and we have a better chance to win with Swayman. Tuukka is a butterfly style goalie with a torn hip labrum. Like, good lord!
But does health?
It seems obvious.
No, but does health necessarily mean a better option, even in the mind of the guys in that room who some, as we said, are playing through stuff themselves.
Now, if you made the switch after the first round, maybe you would have plenty of people questioning it. But if you made the switch certainly after game five, I don't think they would have questioned that.
Boy, that's a tough one to say to that group, "Hey, we've gotten this far with this guy, but now we're going to put in the kid in the elimination
game."
Well,
why pull him in the third period then?
See,
the same message.
No, but
you're down 2 goals.
You are only down 2 goals. But that's one of those where I think the players can rationalize, because I don't think everyone in that room, or excuse me, I think everyone in that room knew exactly what was up with Tuukka. So pulling him out, like, even we said, it was like, wait, what's going on? It's got to be injury related. And then you hear afterwards, he didn't look right. It didn't seem right.
Do you think the players would think Tuukka's soft, or they would question Cassie's decision?
No, I think, as crazy as this sounds, I think neither. As
well,
weird
then
as
do
this
it.
Is.
Then definitely do it. I think you say, listen, Tuukka gutted it out. He played, and think about it, he also missed a stretch of games during the regular season. So at some point in the regular season, it was too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was able to fight back and, like, you know what? We've hit that breaking point again. He's got to be out for a little while.
I think it's hard for those veteran players to look at the rookie the same, even if he's healthy, versus Rask, who had still been finding a way to give it to them towards the end of the regular season and into the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not like Rask can hold up a cup. And I hate to be, I sound like, you know, the anti-Tuukka person, but it's not like, hey, we're definitely making it to the cup final with Tuukka and we're screwed with Swayman. I don't think they would view it that way at all.
How much did the injured defenseman play into all of this? Because even with Tuukka, we were sitting here saying, this decor wasn't up to snuff.
Well, that's fair. There's no guarantee you win with Swayman. Well, trust me, I'm not saying, oh, you're still playing with Swayman.
No.
Not suggesting that. I just think you would have had a better chance. I just think this injury, which they tap danced around for the last several weeks, finds out that it's pretty significant. That kind of explains away the play. I take less of the blame now off of Tuukka, who I thought had 2 bad games to end the playoffs.
This
here
now definitely adds layers of context as to why he at times he was inconsistent.
Oh yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, now we can definitely see that. A texter did send something in about it's not the player's decision. I'm not so sure about that. It's the sport and the veteran. We'll get to
another
that.
Typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
All right, now this hour's code word is Cliff. C-L-I-F-F, as in the name. This hour's code word is Cliff. Text Cliff to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. Here's the thing about the hockey world that I think is a little different than other sports, in that it feels like in that world, you can go, we want you in there. Like, we've talked about, and we even said earlier this week, like, Patrice Bergeron, you find out, like, punctured lung and all this kind of stuff. And I just wonder if the culture of hockey, combined with his veteran status, hand is stamped, he's the starting goaltender, everybody treats him as such, is it easy in that world for, unless the medical person says, Absolutely not.
Yeah,
if the
right.
medical they, person is like, well, you guys decide.
No, like
it
know,
feels like the decision is always going to go to the veteran player.
Yeah, I think once he's cleared, and they probably gave him the old, hey, he's going to need surgery, right. but he can play right now.
Can't make it worse.
And they look
thing.
At Tuca, and he's like, yeah, put me out there. And then so now it's shifted mm-hmm. back to Cassie. Like, all right, the player wants to play. The medical people aren't making me not play him like they did with Brandon Carlo and Kevin Miller and all these other injuries. Curtis Lazar, all those guys were out. They were ruled out. They probably all wanted to play, but too bad. And so Tuca was in sort of that fine line. Just like last year in the playoffs, Pastrnak and Marchand got surgeries immediately after the season last year. And so, but they played. So it's the same kind of deal with Tuca. But I just think the injury combined with the performance combined with the hey, you have a viable backup who might be able to get real hot here and might be able to you know, carry you for a couple of games. That, to me, would have been worth a shot.
Well, it's funny that you put it that way because do the Bruins feel that way?
Well, I mean, Cassie clearly doesn't, but
that's the, like, and if we were, as we were talking
but
yesterday.
But enough to put him on the active roster over Halak. They obviously like him. Like, his small sample
course.
Impacted them a bit.
And I think having Swayman as the backup versus Halak is more of the, we know this guy's hip could blow out at any time, so we better have the guy who played more. It made maybe more sense in terms of Swayman, because when they put Halak into the end of the regular season, he looked like dog do.
And
I mean,
when
it didn't look good.
They went to Halak last year in the bubble, and you're like, all right, tough spot to put him in. Tuca leaves. That day, they're like, hey, Halak, you're in there. I know you thought you were going to be the backup all series, but you're in there now. Tough spot to put him in, but he kind of knew, all right, this is over. This isn't going to work. Whereas at least Swayman, there was sort of that unknown that he could have just played out of his
mind.
Could have gotten hot.
Did what Varlamov did right. for the Islanders, right. who played his tail off. Nick in Worcester wants in on this conversation with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Gresh, it's great to hear you're back. I didn't know you were back around the area. I just asked the gentleman who takes the calls. Is that Gresh?
Sure is.
You can make staring at warm milk and dry toast exciting.
Wow. Thank you, friend. Wow. Verbal hugs to you. That's awesome. Yeah. You've been drinking today?
You're the best.
Thanks.
Listen, but I got to ask you guys. You are aware of what the Islanders had done when they were playing Pittsburgh. Are you not aware?
Well, they jerked around with their goalies, right? They were in and out, moving
the ball around.
They went
with
the young guy, yeah.
They pulled Varlamov, gave up 7 goals in 2 games, and then they say, you know, then that was their equivalent to their Tuukka Rask, and the coach, you know, and they I remember they asked the coach, you know, what are the players going to think? And he came right out and he says, the players are the players. I am the coach. We're going to go with, if I'm saying it right, Sorokin.
Yeah, Sorokin.
And he stopped 68 or 69
yeah, he was great.
Or 73 goals.
And then they made the switch again in this series, and that worked out for them. I mean, I wonder, once you benched Tuca, could you go back to him?
Well, the other thing, too, is in terms of the roster construction and the way the Islanders are built versus the way the Bruins are built, I think we know here as a part of the culture of the Bruins that every player doesn't have a say, but the veterans do. And that's where I think it's – because, look – the general manager of the New York Islanders is Lou Lamoriello, who made a ton of money and made his name building the New Jersey Devils, right? And when you think of the Devils, they were consistent, same goaltender,
boring.
All that stuff. Boring, right? Yeah. But they won cups.
Yeah.
I would dare say that if we went back and examined some of that, like I'm sure Scott Stevens at some point in time, their longtime defenseman down there, had the ability to say, I'm good to go because he's a veteran vested
guy. Yeah, but
guy.
He's talking about you bench, you go, the veteran guy wasn't good, so he went with the young guy. The young guy wasn't good, he went back to the veteran.
But none of those Islanders players have any of like the organizational stroke, let's say, like a Marchand, a Bergeron, a Krejci, a Rask, the guys who've been around for a long period of time. Like if I said to you, who is the Patrice Bergeron of the New York Islanders?
Yeah, Cal Clutterbuck.
Right, and you would think of who's their captain, and you know, you'd have to Google
it Barzal?
To know who has the C.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there was the revisionist history, like going back to the 2015 draft.
That's not revisionist. That was as soon as Barzal hit the ice, you realized they screwed that up.
Well, but it's interesting because now it turned into...
They took 3 bombs over him.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that, it's now turned into the whole... the Islanders know, like we're going back to the 2015 draft, and now it's like, oh, they got these three guys, and the Bruins could have had them, when the overwhelming majority of people who are now looking back wouldn't have known 6 years ago that all of those players would have worked out for the Islanders. I guess it's the revision. Maybe there's one guy.
By the Bruins.
I understand.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But it's really interesting that we get it's now
Zach Sinishin
5 years down the road. Like, I can understand the evaluating of the Bruins players, but now it's turned into because they match up against the Islanders and the Islanders did this.
Yeah, but Barzal was good right away. Was Barzal rookie of the year?
And I'm sure if we wanted to look in third, fourth, and fifth round of the draft, we could probably find a bunch of guys.
How many teams have three consecutive first round picks and they all suck?
Well, that's hard to do
because everybody thought they were going to trade up and they didn't, and then they took three guys, varying degrees of garbage. At least, you know, DeBrusque has played.
Sure,
the other guys are awful, and then Barzal is good. But no, my point is with Tuukka going back to the goalie swap, I think you might have been able to sell it on Tuukka more because of the injury. Like, this guy actually requires more rest. So you could have gone with Swayman at some point and see what he does. If he throws up on himself, hey, Tuukka, you're back. You didn't get benched because of performance. You got benched because of health, and that might have been a little bit easier thing to do.
They clearly went a long time with this guy playing with this. It was almost I think it was to the point to where you had those guys who knew, and Tuukka was, that's the other thing, too. Like, Tuukka didn't tap out. That's because you
no,
would,
no,
you
he
would,
did it, and,
you
and we were that, used to that history of it,
right?
And he didn't, and so you 100% have to give him credit for saying I can play when he probably shouldn't have. Like, there were other times where he tapped out, and I'm not even talking about the family situation.
Of course,
other times, like the flu, you get the flu, and you're out in an elimination game, and like there were times where he's tapped out before, and you kind of question that. So now he's playing with a torn labrum. So for that, you have to give him credit. But you can also say, hey, Bruce Cassidy, you should have taken that decision away from him. Said, listen, our goalie has a bum hip in an elimination game coming off of a bad performance the night before where a couple of pucks he really should have stopped. And, oh, I don't know, maybe his hip injury affected that. And then you see it in game two or game six, I should say, and he allows four goals. You're like, yeah, we're just going to keep him in there. Like, I don't get any of that.
Yeah, the move at the end of game five is what adds a whole bunch of gray
to
this situation.
You were willing to pull him at some point.
Because it was the, and who knows, maybe Tuukka went to him and was like, ouch.
Bruce,
ouch.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like, get me out of there. This will add such a layer of complexity to the overall Tuukka Rask experience here in Boston. And we talked about what will the narrative be like when he finally does walk away. There's a whole bunch of gray in the Tuukka story.
Well, you're going to have some that thought, you know, he never got the most out of his ability. You'll have others, like our buddy Davey Eyeballs is the best goalie in franchise history. Despite the no cups, he'll say he's the best goalie in franchise history. You'll have many that'll argue that. But I think because of sort of the mindset that we saw this postseason, it's another reason why I don't bring him back. Because I think if you go with Swayman, and Swayman does really well, then Swayman struggles for like a couple of games, and you're like, well, we got Tuukka, now Tuukka's the guy. And then it kind of just stops Swayman from being your number one goalie next year, because I feel like the same thing's going to be in place. Bruce Cassidy will be here, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, Bergeron, Marchand, and they're like, well, Tuukka, obviously, Tuukka's healthy now, coach, so we're going with Tuukka, right? Like, no, just take that option out off
well,
the table.
The other thing we need to remember is Tuukka said, I can get back to hockey activity. Like, I can get back in January.
Oh, good point.
And
that
February.
Might not even be games.
He might not even be ready to play games next year at some point, given how that rehabs. I think he said 8 months or something like that. So if you just start thinking about it and you think of how far down the road, hell, this guy might not even be ready until April. Hey, your routine is changing. Listening to us doesn't have to. WEEI.com, the Odyssey app. Ask your smart speakers to play WEEI. And, of course, you can always watch the show on Twitch, WEEI.com/watch. I want to get to this because I do think it deserves a guffaw or maybe a little chuckle.
Uh-huh.
Down in New York, Pete Alonso has become the new David Wright. He's the big bad Mets bopper.
Yep.
He's the guy now.
He can sock some dingers.
Now, we know that Major League Baseball will mess around with the ball every once in a while, right?
They will. And if you do it in one sport, you get suspended 4 games. You do it in another sport, and you have the ones in charge doing it all the time. Like, well, you know, willy-nilly.
Come on, Rich. If the NFL owns Spalding or whomever produces the NFL footballs, then maybe, like Major League Baseball,
they'd mess around
they
with it.
Own the company that makes the baseballs. So yikes. What are they doing with them? However, Mets power hitter Pete Alonso had a very interesting theory on MLB leadership and why they tinker with balls.
I hadn't heard until you mentioned it, the idea that they do it based on free agent class. Is that something that players talk about and believe in?
Oh, no, that's a fact. I mean, guys have talked about it, but I mean, in 2019, there's a huge class of free agent pitchers, and then that's quote unquote the juice balls. And then 2020 was a strange year with the COVID season. But now that we're back to playing a regular season with a ton of shortstops or position players that are going to be paid a lot of money, like high caliber players. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence, and it definitely is something that they do.
Okay. Now, that is some sort of conspiracy theory that basically the owners...
I love a conspiracy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of a bit far afield. So you have to go through and be like, all right, is it a pitcher-dominant class or a hitter-dominant class? And by the way, there's going to be great hitters and pitchers every class.
Right.
I mean, varying degrees. I understand that. But don't you think overall that Major League Baseball likes the home runs?
Yes.
Home runs equal ratings and interest and money and all that stuff.
It saved the game in the late 90s.
It literally did. And they realized, oh, wait a minute. We don't have to juice the players and we still have home runs? Yeah, let's do it this way. But they probably did it too much. It went too far. You had too many guys socking 20 dingers. It was getting a little slappy that they're like, all right, let's take it down a notch. And then Pete's like, oh, that's because I'm a free agent or whoever's a free agent coming up. But now these pitchers... So if you have some guy go out there and have a 1.88 ERA, he's going to say, look how much I want, and somebody's going to have to pay him.
That's right.
So, yeah, don't get me wrong. I think baseball could screw up anything, and they can get in their way with a lot of this stuff, and they need to figure out what the baseball is and kind of stick with that. But you're almost left with players like this trying to come up with different reasons for why they're doing it. But I would just think, Pete, they want home runs.
Yes.
If you somehow get it going and you are on a chase for Barry Bonds' home run record, I'm pretty sure they'll promote that. I'm pretty sure they'll be pretty excited that that'll be lead story every night if you're getting 60, 70 home runs.
To your point, like the home runs are what sell, and why are pitchers putting goop on the ball? Because they know the balls are really geared towards the hitters. Why do we have this massive alleged cheating going on where people are mixing the right? It went from bullfrog suntan lotion,
yes,
and rosin to now just straight up putting sticky McKicky on there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised a pot, you know, somebody who smokes dope hasn't like brought some of the, you know, sticky residue
sticky
that you get out of the pipe or whatever.
Gorilla
put that
glue
on
there.
Something, right?
Ball
if it's good
hand.
For that woman's hair, why wouldn't it be good for for a baseball?
That's actually the next thing we're going to see. The next level of this is a guy goes to throw it and it just sticks in his hand and he just like falls down.
But
with
the
it.
Guy
it's
with
like,
the bowling
oh,
ball
no.
and it doesn't come out of his hand, he just flops on the ground.
I'm going to need a new one.
The umpire can't get it out of his little bag that he's got on the side there. Do they even have those anymore?
I don't know.
I think they just stuff them in the pockets now, right?
Yeah, because that's true.
They used to have those giant saddle bags full of baseballs.
Well, the best was Little League. You get 3 balls. Better not lose them, boys. Better not put them on the street or we're in trouble.
Dad, do you think we can get a baseball today when we go to the grocery store or whatever?
I need an extra one.
Yep. It's pretty crazy. But that is as... That's as far-fetched a theory as we have heard on something like that. So basically what he's saying is the game and the owners are colluding to a point to where they're trying to hold salaries down. And what costs more, buying pitching or buying hitting?
Oh, my God.
It's buying pitching.
Not only does pitching oftentimes cost more. I mean, they're the elite guys, but the pitching also... ends up biting you in the back more than the hitters usually the end of these deals are worse for the pitchers.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, that's baseball, and you'll have every fan say, I don't care if the last 3 years are bad. Just give me 4 good years. And it's
something.
Like, no.
I know.
Then you end up with a Dustin Pedroia situation. We'll get to some NBA coming up. But first, here is Shime. Let's trend.
OMF. weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox and Astros had an absolute shootout last night, and the Sox came out on top 12-8. The Sox will start up a series with the Blue Jays tonight. First pitch 7:10, pregame 6:10. You can catch all the action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Tuukka Rask said in his press conference that he had a torn labrum, and he will be getting surgery and won't be back on the ice until January or February. The Bucks got their first win of the series by beating the Nets last night 86-83, and the Jazz took a two-game lead in their series, beating the Clippers 117-111. And the Vegas Golden Knights beat the Colorado Avalanche 6-2 last night, eliminating the Avs from the playoffs. Gresh?
The Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, thank you.
It's a new team. They just joined.
Stop calling them Denver like you've been all week.
Yeah, seriously.
Well,
1245.
They're not really Denver. What they are.
No, they're Colorado.
Well, they're in Denver.
They represent the entire
Avs,
the Boston Patriots.
Eliminating the Avs from the playoffs and setting up a Vegas-Montreal semifinals matchup. Now, actually, let's go to Adrian Dater of ColoradoHockeyNow.com with a tremendous and insightful question for Nathan MacKinnon postgame.
Oh. Nate, you know, I know you're a gamer and all this, and, you know, I'm just thinking maybe out loud as far as in your shoes right now. It's like, all right, we've done all the thinking we can do. We've done all the game planning we can do. Maybe, you know, just it. We'll just go in next year and just not think anymore and just win this thing when we don't think so much. Am I on the right path at all with this? Like, maybe you just guys think a little too much?
No.
Last one here for Nate.
What the hell was that? What was that guy's name, Sean?
That guy's name was Adrian Dater.
Dater?
Yeah.
I hardly even know her.
That's just a joke.
John. This is what happens when you put these, like, dingdong.com or dingdonghockey.com or whatever it is.
Are you hockey now?
I'm just ignoring it. I'm just blowing
He's
through it.
This guy's a bartender in Boulder, actually.
Yeah, seriously, right?
What the hell was that? Was he like, hey, I'm on the team?
With all the game planning we do.
I think he's a waiter in Grand Junction.
That's good. So. Yeah, hey. He's a waiter in Grand Junction.
Hey, F it, right? Hey, Nate, F it, right?
Hey,
you're like, dude, get out of here.
You're such a gamer, bro.
Hey, come on. Hey, any thought that you were thinking too much out there on the ice? You guys were prepared too much. You worked too hard. You wanted too much.
I was going to say, did he use a nickname?
Yeah, hey,
Nate Dogg.
Maybe, F it. We'll do it live, right, Nate Dogg? He's like, go away. How about his answer? Long pause. No.
No. Next question.
Like, get this. Throw
also,
that guy out.
Also, earlier in that
here.
Press conference, he was depressed. Nathan MacKinnon earlier in that press conference was like, this is my ninth year and I haven't won bleep.
No, I mean, he's right.
Well, trade him to Boston. Come here.
Apparently, a friend of the show, Pete Blackburn, called Adrian Dater out and has since been blocked by Adrian Dater on Twitter.
What was that about?
That is something. Imagine being the regional sports network airing that live and some writer who you
F-bomb.
Think is going to be professional enough
hey,
to not drop
hey,
an F-bomb.
F it, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe,
Nate, huh?
Maybe, you know, just
yeah.
If Spaz just wouldn't do it, then you know someone
correct.
Went overboard.
Be a professional, Adrian Dater.
Oh, my Lanta.
You know, just
yeah, come on.
Trending now, also brought to you by UG2. Facility managers, maintenance techs, HVAC pros, electricians, and plumbers. If you're at the top of your game and are considering a career change, then UG2 wants to talk to you. Visit UG2.com/careers today. UG2.com/careers. I'm Kershawn. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
The Bucks have fought back against the Nets, and how a comment about a Red Sox owner got Pat Riley fined. All next.
You know, just f*** it.
You know you can watch Gresh and Keith.
My ass is sublime.
Just go to WEEI.com/watch. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
As Tucker and Durant get into each other's face. Tucker now yelling at Kyrie Irving.
Hey, Tucker, you got to be smart. Okay, there's going to be a double technical foul. You don't want to pick up another one and be ejected out of this ball game.
Yeah, they'll be double technical. And Durant said something right after that. Now face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
The Bucks tried to give it back to the Nets last night. Basically, it turned into a mid-90s NBA game, 83-82 or 84-83.
86-83 is the final, which is crazy because, you know, the Nets are probably going to score a $150 in their next three games.
Was Jim O'Brien coaching again?
But,
remember,
yeah.
Didn't the Celtics win like a 68-65 game against the Miami Heat during the Jim O'Brien era?
Well,
something
there was
crazy
one of those,
like that.
One of those NBA Finals games, Bulls-Jazz. I think the Jazz scored like 57 points. Remember something insane? I forgot all about it. Then the Last Dance talked about it. You're like, oh, God.
Oh, they're lit on the rim? Like, yeah.
But that game was pretty crazy. So, you have P.J. Tucker getting after it a little bit, which you love to see, talking trash to both Durant and Kyrie on that same play. But no James Harden once again, and Kevin Durant was struggling in the game. And so a couple of things from this one. So first of all, Milwaukee avoids the sweep. I don't love their chances in the series, but that's what they did. They avoided the sweep.
I like that.
Best moment ever, and it's what took over Twitter at the end of the night. So the Nets have the ball. Holiday just hit like a big shot, and the Nets have the ball. They're down by three. Bruce Brown gets the ball, looks to his left, Kevin Durant. Looks to his right, Kyrie Irving. It says, Bruce Brown time. Launches. And you're like, what are you doing? He took two shots late. You're like, this guy just lost his mind. And that's why I was like, I think that might have been the part, even if he didn't take the final shot, that's really where they missed James Harden. Because Harden would have at least been in control of that and set up either Durant or set up Kyrie Irving. And I know some of the people after the game were like, Steve Nash has to call a timeout and drop a play. It's like, no, Bruce Brown should know that he's not the option there.
Right.
You have a two-time finals MVP on one side of you. You have a guy who hit one of the biggest shots in the finals on the other side. And you're Bruce Brown. And there's a local guy. Shout out Bruce Brown. But what are you doing? And so everybody was doing the Carlton Banks treatment. Remember Carlton Banks and Fresh Prince where he just launches the shot and stares at it? And then it smashes on like the top of the backboard.
And by the way, it was like an 8-foot rim that they shot that on. Like if you ever go back and look at it.
It wasn't even a rectangle backboard.
Right.
It was like the one that's at the half circle.
Yeah.
So that was obviously a big moment at the game, at the end of the game. But Giannis shooting free throws has become an absolute sideshow. He actually got called for the 10-second violation. Which they never call.
Never.
And they timed it up. It was like 13 seconds. He's standing there, dribble. What do I do? Air ball. It's like Ben Simmons now at the line.
It's unbelievable.
And it doesn't make any sense because he's never been a great free throw shooter, but he's never been the...
Dribble.
Hack a Shaq or like Chris Dudley or Ben Wall.
Chris Dudley.
A horrible
great
free throw
pull.
Shooter. Horrible free throw
great
shooter.
Pull. That's right.
So he went 4-for-9 at the free throw line and maybe more damning in a big, they still won, but he took 8 threes. Like Giannis, don't shoot threes. What are you doing?
In the highlights package that I watched today, they do like 5-6 minute highlight packages. There's one play where Giannis is just dribbling between his legs and it looks like he's going to go to the lane. And then he backed all the way out to the three-point line to then get a running start to just take it to the hole and then ultimately miss the layup.
Like, yeah, he's odd player, isn't he?
I'm souring on him. Like, the more I watch him in the postseason, the more you realize that Giannis feels like just a regular season stat compiler and that there are parts of his game that don't translate to the postseason.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why I wonder, like, does he need that other guy? And Middleton played his ass off yesterday. In fact,
35.
Middleton and Giannis scored 68 of the 86.
Oh, did you see the Nets, who were not much better, by the way?
No,
Durant dropped 30. Bruce Brown had 16. Kyrie had 22.
That was it.
How about Joe Harris? 1 of 11.
Yeah.
From the field.
He had that one game against the Celtics, the game that the Celtics won, where he just couldn't hit a single shot. And so that was part of it, too. Like, they're like, oh, like the Bucks are slapping on the defense. It's like, no, Harris and Durant were just missing open shots. Like, P.J. Tucker's a good defender, but Durant missed a pile of open shots.
To your point, Drew Holiday, 4-for-14. Whichever, like, Lopez, 1-of-7.
Yeah.
P.J. Tucker, 0-for-4.
How do you love that? You have a guy who's 7-2, and he takes 7 shots, 5-from-3.
5-for-3.
Come on.
It's really crazy. So the Bucks, you're right. They're going to avoid the sweep.
Yeah, that's basically it.
At the hands of the Nets right now.
But just funny. I mean, Giannis at the free throw line is an absolute mess.
Utah bad uniforms last night.
Horrible
in their
uniforms.
Win.
But man, Donovan Mitchell's a stud. Donovan Mitchell had he had 27 in the I think it was the first half and was just a monster. Had 37 for the game. They're up 2-0 in the Clippers. Although Clippers were down 2-0 to the Mavericks and came back and won. Now the Utah Jazz are a lot better than the Mavericks, but
we want the Jazz to lose. Because if there's any chance of prying Donovan Mitchell away.
Yeah, you want him to get pissed.
Yeah, right? If they go to the West Finals, he's going to be like, oh, we're on our way.
What a potential like breath of fresh air if it is Jazz Suns Western Finals.
It would be something.
And you have Booker versus Mitchell and one of those guys going to the finals.
And
like
would it finally be the Chris time Paul for CP3 to kind of cross over a little bit?
Yeah.
And then let's get to your favorite NBA player. That would be one LeBron James.
That's him.
And LeBron James, of course, L.A. Laker. Under contract, and the only guy who has ever told LeBron no was Pat Riley, who's running the Miami Heat. But apparently, Pat doesn't have ill feelings toward LeBron. Here you go.
Good luck, Bill.
Who was responsible for LeBron coming down here? Was it you or was it Wade? Because I'm hearing both ends of this. Wade saying it's him, you're saying it's you. Who was it? And follow up, is the door, is the key still under the doormat?
I would leave the key under the doormat if he would call me and let me know he's coming. I would do that, but I doubt very much. That key's rusted now. He's wish him nothing but the best, and if he ever wanted to come back, then I'll put a new shiny key under that mat.
Wow.
But I can't. I just got this. Will just get me fined for
no. But that's and he did $25,000. Pat Riley knew he was going to get fined.
The guy basically fed him the line.
He did.
He just straight fed him the line. He's like, yeah, I would. So now we
he took the cheese.
He did, but so dumb by the NBA. So if a guy, especially a guy who had him on his team and won two titles with him,
says that
I would have LeBron on my team, $25K. Oh, yeah, because he wouldn't want LeBron.
Right. Yeah,
like, come on.
There are 29 general managers who would have answered the same way that Pat Riley did.
It's why Magic Johnson quit his job with the Lakers, because he wanted to go on Twitter and say Ben Simmons had a nice game. That's it. He was like, he wanted to go on there and say Donovan Mitchell had 37, great player. And they were like, Magic, you got to stop talking about other players on Twitter. He's like, all right, I'm done. I got to have my tweets.
I used to love following O.J. Simpson on Twitter.
Okay.
But you nailed
Magic's
something, right?
Though.
Oh, I'm just...
Twitter world, yours truly.
I just brought it up 10 hours ago.
What did he say? Something about Donovan Mitchell, I bet.
No, it's a picture with him and Rodney and Holly Pete. And here's the tweet, right?
Yeah.
So it's Irvin and his wife Cookie.
Yes.
And the Peets. Happy anniversary to Rodney and Holly Pete, two people Cookie and I love very much. Happy to share a 30 plus year friendship with you, and so happy that God brought you two together.
Yep. Shout out God as well.
He's got a Coach K thing on there.
Yeah.
Oh, good to be on stage talking some whatnot with Isaiah Thomas.
Of course.
Magic Old Johnson. Buddy. Just wants to be loved. That's all.
And
he wants people to love him. Oh,
and they course. Do. And he does. Yeah.
There's another joke there, but I'll let that go.
Leave it alone.
Red Sox tickets today, a little bit later on. In fact, we'll probably do it next hour. Up next. This is so rare, but I'm so excited. Our second emergency Kiefer Madness of the week. We'll go to the great state of Texas for this one next.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, second time this week we've had an emergency madness, because, again, you don't want to let these things sit for too long.
No,
you want to get to them. And obviously we have our weekend review coming up at noon 30. But two quick stories I want to hit on here. One of them involves Representative Louie Gohmert from Texas.
Oh, boy.
Who was taking part in a House Natural Resources hearing.
High-level stuff.
And obviously he wants to fight climate change.
Oh, of course.
He's trying to fight climate change. And so he has a couple of questions about maybe there's something that groups could do in order to help out on climate change. And here's how that went for Louie Gohmert.
And I understand from what's been testified to the Forest Service and the BLM, you want very much to...
Yeah, I'll continue here, but he's bringing in Forest Service with Black Lives Matter?
Blue Lives Matter.
No, John?
Apparently, I think so.
He's kind of adding... Yeah. He's lumping the two together. I'm not entirely sure why.
Like lumping the DMV and the guy who runs the nuclear reactor.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're doing here, but let's see.
From what's been testified to the Forest Service and the BLM, you want very much to work on the issue of climate change. I was informed by the immediate past director of NASA that they have found that the moon's orbit is changing slightly, and so is the Earth's orbit around the sun. We know there's been significant solar flare activity. And so is there anything that the National Forest Service or BLM can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun? Obviously, that would have profound effects on our climate.
Jesus,
God. Who knows better?
So, just, you know, while you're out there, I know you have other things to worry about, but do you think you could maybe spin the moon the other way or kick us around a different path?
I was waiting
for
that.
That would have tremendous change. Oh, no, here's her answer. Here's her answer.
Good.
I'll leave the pause in for dramatic effect as well.
Or the Earth's orbit around the sun. Obviously, that would have profound effects on our climate.
I would have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert.
Yeah. Well, if you figure out a way that you in the Forest Service can make that change, I'd like to know.
Right. I think BLM in Texas, according to some texters, might be the Bureau of Land Management.
Okay.
But, okay.
Either
but
way.
No.
That's crazy, but still crazy.
You know, just
But then you, yeah, but if fine. You're that guy, you right. need to say it.
You need to put that
because
out there.
If yeah. you're a politician, you need to be aware of what those letters mean in more than just one context.
And are you
so when you say it, yeah. it's going to turn into
that is true.
Everybody is going to hammer him. When in reality, if you'd positioned it differently, however, the stupidity of the whole moon
yeah.
thing.
Let's not get bogged
down on
here.
That
good
here.
Point.
No,
yes,
I mean, I was waiting for someone to be like, "Well, Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn yeah. Nets says the Earth is flat, so none of this is relevant anyway."
Right. I don't know if you've.
That's seen just a joke.
I don't know if you've seen the internet.
My
there, but,
God,
but hopefully
almighty.
Spin the moon
that
a little
is
bit.
So dumb.
It is dumb. Now that was on a Zoom call.
What history?
Speaking of Zoom.
Good Lord.
Speaking of Zoom, Jeffrey Toobin. During
Whoa,
the
a world famous pod whacker.
So during the pandemic, he was appearing on CNN on
was.
A Zoom call.
Yep.
He didn't realize he was on Zoom. He had his laptop up. And he was just going to work on himself, going to absolute town.
Full blown hand central station.
Was that nasty?
What was the John Cena move? The old five knuckle shuffle.
Five knuckles, right? Yeah,
so
yeah,
here's
yeah.
Jeffrey Toobin back. They what? Brought Jeffrey Toobin
How does
back.
CNN do this, Rich?
Well, because he's going to apologize.
Oh,
he's,
that's right.
He's sorry for what he did.
We atone for our sins in our world.
So here he is.
I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You so, thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible.
Can I ask
but
a serious...
Hot, too.
Can I ask
kinda,
a serious...
Kind of
No, was it? Was the, it? No? What?
No.
The lady okay. the lady on Zoom really? In D.C., yeah. you ever get to see it? Now...
He's like, DMs are open.
Now...
Like, Jeffrey.
Why would... Wiki brought this up earlier
okay.
that, you know, people get done with their laptop and they go to... And he named about 37 porn sites that you can go to. All you had to do is just listen back to it.
Okay.
But normally, if you are going to get in the mood, so to, don't you kind of have either like an old phone or another laptop or something like that, that you would look for those kinds of things to be able to get ready to then go to the hand-old Opry?
Not your work computer?
Right.
Just use an incognito browser, guys. Come on.
I usually light a couple of candles. I make sure that...
run a tub.
Have a breath mint.
I run a nice tub for the cleaning after that'll take place.
Sprinkle some flowers over the bed.
Sure. The whole thing.
Really get a nice oil diffuser going.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Thought everybody.
Jeffrey Toobin's a hero. Let's be
I
honest.
I thought everybody just.
Is he really?
I thought everybody just went
women
the
out there. Women out there,
hero?
Like,
or leave, is he a
like,
creep?
Women out there, leave the house for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and don't make it seem like you're coming back in 5 minutes. Make it seem like you're going to be gone for an hour. Come back in 5 minutes and see what you find your man
can
doing.
Can I give you a pro tip? Just do it in the shower.
Oh, God. Okay.
Then it's
clogs
a lot
the
of
drain.
Squishing and.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
What are we doing here?
First of all, you're in the shower.
Yeah,
it's going
Drano?
To sound like water. It's going to sound like you're scrub-a-dubbin' or whatever anyway. And let me ask you this.
Okay.
A lot of scrub-a-dubbin'.
It's going to get faster.
But who interrupts you in the shower? It's like saying that you need a day off from work and you're going to go get a colonoscopy, yeah. like when I got married. Well, who's going to question that?
Well oiled.
And by the way, come to think of it, if you are in the shower engaging in that activity and someone jumps in there, maybe they're willing to help you.
It's not necessarily the interrupting you should be worried about. It's the glare you receive upon exiting the shower.
Yeah, but if you take long showers, you have the automatic
cover.
You're
going to set the tone now. Go home, shine, take a half-hour shower.
Yeah. Water bill's going to be high. Tone.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, water's cheap, overrated.
Get an apartment if you're going
to
do that.
Yeah.
Now I think I know why John goes to the bathroom so much during the day.
That might be right.
I'm in and out.
I'm in and out.
It's all been misdirection.
That's right. If he doesn't keep up the ruse here, then there's no way he could sell it with whatever roommates he's got this month.
The pooping was a red herring.
A total smokescreen.
Someone said CNN.
He'll spend a night in jail for sure.
Oh, I can't say that on the air, but some 401 just sent a text that is fantastic.
Oh, what CNN stands for?
Yeah, what CNN stands for. Very good. That was definitely worth an emergency madness. And, I mean, come on, CNN. Really? Like,
yikes.
They're shameless, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they're just shameless. I think they do some of these, like the whole Cuomo thing, not to go on a sidebar, but like with the, you know, the brother. And of course you can understand why I couldn't talk to my brother. And it's like, oh, the network enabled me to do so. And it's like, wait a minute, aren't you the one that's clapping at everybody? Right. That's all these networks do now. It's just point the finger at everybody else and all that stuff. Coming up, 2 U's, 2 K's, 2 hips, but 1 broken. But the news isn't all bad for the Bruins. We will get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.